So we celebrate this great feast, this celebration of the Last Supper. And it's unique about this Mass because this is really the only Mass where the focus is on the Last Supper. You know, oftentimes we mistakenly think about going to Mass like we're sharing the meal with the Lord and with our brothers and sisters. And that's certainly an aspect of it. But primarily, when we go to Mass ordinarily, we're going to Calvary. We're going to witness the sacrifice that we heard about in the first reading. But tonight, we focus on the Last Supper. And as we begin to hear from the Last Supper discourse in John's Gospel, which begins in chapter 13 and goes all the way through the end of chapter 17. And so I think every year I give the homework, so I'm going to give it again. Sometime these next 24, 36 hours, read those chapters from John's Gospel. So as you come to the service tomorrow, and as you come to Mass on Saturday night and on Sunday morning, you have a full picture of what's happening, of where the heart of Jesus is in the midst of these wonderful mysteries. There's this mystery of God's love that we're here to celebrate. And it's the mysteries of the Holy Eucharist, of the sacred priesthood, and of the new commandment of fraternal charity. These mysteries that Mother Church asked her priests to preach on this evening. And the word mystery, those divinely revealed truths that are in some way more than we could ever imagine. But also in some way, the Lord has desired to share part of it with us. So there's so much more than we would ever really get to know. But we can know some things about these great mysteries of the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the new commandment of fraternal charity. For so many people this night, the washing of the feet is the big attraction. And we come and we love to see it. But I wonder how many of us know it's optional. It's only done by if deemed necessary. It's not required for this Mass. It does give us an idea of how we live out the new commandment. But there's so much more to fraternal charity. There's so much more to loving our neighbor as God has loved us than washing feet. Especially in our day today where our feet are so well taken care of. Probably wasn't so nice for Jesus. The things, the stuff that those men had walked through to get to that dinner probably was not very appealing as Jesus washed those feet. So maybe we can hear this call of fraternal charity and not be afraid to go to the most messy places of our friends' lives and not reject people because they're carrying that stuff from the street along with them, but to share the love, the mercy, the healing touch of Jesus with everyone that we encounter. In order to have the courage to do those things, we need Jesus. We need the Holy Eucharist. On this night where he instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist and instituted the sacrament of holy orders, the sacred priesthood, so that his desire to remain with us would be true for each one of us all the days of our life, that his desire to not leave, to remain, would be true. He loves you so much that he never wanted to be apart from you. And as we listen to the readings, that first reading about that first Passover, It's necessary to know why that episode was necessary. Because the chosen people had been enslaved for over 400 years. And God wanted to set them free. And it was through that Passover sacrifice that brought them from the slavery to Egypt into the freedom of the promised land. And so when we think about this great thing that we have, the sacramental system, those moments where we can encounter the touch of Jesus, we must remember it's all because of slavery to sin, that we were stuck in sin and we had no way out. And so God came to rescue you from that, the tortures of sin, of depression, of anxiety, the wounds of past behaviors that you're ashamed of those bad habits that you just can't seem to shake. All the things that we do when we choose our own way, we heard in the gospel that Judas had already turned away. So many times we do the same. Christ comes to save us from those things. If we don't understand that, sometimes we say we need to know the bad news so that the good news makes sense. The bad news is that without Jesus, we're dead. And this is what we're entering into for these next couple of days. The reality of life without Jesus. I wonder how many of us noticed that the tabernacle is empty this evening. That the Eucharistic presence of Jesus is not here. So this Mass is beginning to remind us of what life is like without Jesus. That emptiness, the longing, the desire to be seen, the desire to be known, the desire to be loved. This is all fulfilled in the Holy Eucharist. And this is what we celebrate this evening. God's desire to see you, to know you, and to love you. And to do so in such a radical way that he will rescue you from the slavery of anything and everything that's holding you down. And to bring you to the promised land of new life in Christ. And in order for it to make that a reality, on this night, Christ established the sacred priesthood. Those men that he had called to himself 3 years earlier, those men who he had shared intimate moments with, those men who he had to tolerate their reluctance to understand fully, those times when Peter tried to get in his way, those men that Jesus had seen and loved and called, now he's sending them out. And he's equipping them to be his presence in the world. Ordaining them, changing their lives in a radical way for one reason, so that you can go to heaven. The priesthood makes no sense outside of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is here so that we can be holy. The life of the priest is ordered to your sanctification. Everything that I do, everything that every priest does, should be ordered to your sanctification, should be done to help you become a saint. They say that priest's life can be divided into three areas of teaching, of shepherding, and of sanctifying, all to make you a saint. We teach primarily by preaching and by the faithful celebration of the sacraments in her liturgy. But we preach because St. Paul says we can't believe unless we hear. We can't hear unless we're preached to. So the priest preaches the saving message of Jesus Christ, reminding you that only in him is there freedom from sin. There's no other way out of the darkness. No other way out of the tomb except through Jesus Christ. And the priest has that job, that task of preaching that saving truth, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. The priest teaches. The priest governs and shepherds. Especially as a pastor, of course, there's administrative duties, much like those of you who are running households. You have administrative duties in your home. But your job as a father to shepherd your home goes way beyond paying bills and hoping the roof doesn't leak. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he says he lays down his life for his sheep, and the priest is called to imitate that. In a very real way, we imitate him at the day of ordination as we lay our lives down in the floor of the sanctuary of the cathedral as a symbol of dying to this world, and then the bishop calls us up so we rise to new life as priests of Jesus Christ, and we lay down our life so that you may have life. A priest is called to shepherd his people, to go after the lost sheep, to find the one in the brambles and the bushes, and to bring them to green pastures so that you can become a saint. The priest is called to sanctify, to make you holy. Primarily, this is done through the sacraments. Okay. We know of no other way of sanctification other than sanctifying grace. The only way to receive sanctifying grace is through the sacraments. And so the priest preaches to those who know not Jesus Christ so that they can come to know Jesus Christ, so that through their knowledge of Jesus Christ, they can come to become Catholic, so that they can receive the Holy Eucharist. And the priest administers that sacrament of baptism, bringing that child or that adult to new life in Christ. And then you are confirmed so that you're strengthened to receive the fullness of the power of the Holy Eucharist so that you can live a life completely committed to Jesus Christ. When you go astray, when you choose the wrong path, when you commit a mortal sin, the priest is there in the confession to give you those saving words of absolution, to redeem your soul once again, to restore you to sanctifying grace so that you can be a saint. The priest witnesses marriages so that between that sacrificial love of a husband and a wife, the love of Christ for his church can be on display for the whole world to see. So that through the love of a husband and a wife, the love of Christ can be shown to the world, so the world can come to know Jesus Christ, to those who are not baptized and can be baptized and receive the Eucharist so that they can become saints. When you're seriously sick or approaching death, the priest will come to anoint you, to extend one last time the healing hand of Jesus, to accompany you on your final journey, to administer the Holy Eucharist one last time as your food for the journey, your journey to heaven, your journey to holiness. This path of sanctification, this call to holiness that we have all received, Christ gave you the priests so that it can become a reality in your life. A priest's first call is to be holy himself, to be faithful to his promises made at baptism. And this is why it's so important for you to pray for your priest. A priest is more aware of his own sin than you could ever be. A priest is desperately dependent on the prayers of the faithful. So as we pray, as priests, as we pray for you, we beg your prayers for us so that we can become saints.